Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Turkey hunting's one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
As you may have heard, Meat Eater is hitting the road again this spring for another round of Meat Eater Live. Join us for a fun night celebrating the outdoor lifestyle. We'll deliver laughs, trivia, news, and opinion from across the worlds of hunting, fishing, wildlife conservation, and wild foods. And here's another reason to come. Every ticket includes a signed copy of the new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, Wild Game Recipes for the Grill, Smoker, Camp Stove, and Campfire, which is a $38 value. All ages are welcome. Tickets are on sale now, and here's where we're going. Tuesday, April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. Wednesday, April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. Thursday, April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. Saturday, April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. Monday, April 29th, the Union in Salt Lake City. Tuesday, April 30th, the Egyptian in Boise. Wednesday, May 1st, the Wilma in Missoula. Thursday, May 2nd, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane. Saturday, May 4th, the Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. Sunday, May 5th, Pantages Theater in Tacoma. For tickets and more information, visit the events page on themeateater.com or the theater website. And if you're not able to make it to the show, but are still interested in getting your hands on a signed copy of the new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, you can do so at signedoutdoorcookbook.com. That's signedoutdoorcookbook.com and Barnes & Noble online.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Brody, Yanni, Randall, Cal, Christine, Seth, Corinne, and Max. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And for the stat of the week this week, we're looking at near-perfect games, which is when the winner finishes with 9 correct answers. That has happened 17 times in the history of Meat Eater Trivia, which is 18% of all games. 10 of those 17 near-perfect games were done by Brody. Brody, is there one that sticks out in your mind as a near-perfect? It's happened 10 times now.
Not really, man.
No.
I mean, did I lose to anyone who... Are those winning nines or are those? Oh,
Well, I think two of them were tiebreaker nines that happened.
So if I lost to a perfect game, then that would be irritating.
Okay. Yeah. I think if I asked that question, Randall, he'd know the exact question that he got wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Right.
What number question thought about it every was? Day. Uh-huh.
Keep him up at night.
Yeah. Now, here's our infrequently asked questions segment. If you have a trivia-related question for our crew, send it to trivia@themeateater.com with the subject line IFAQ. Eric Moore wants to know, who does Steve most like to beat at trivia? Same question for Randall, Yanni, Cal, and Brody. Now, we don't have Steve here to answer, but I feel like we can answer for him. I think it would be Brody.
Okay,
they're in agreement. Steve most likes to beat
who
Brody.
Who is this Steve guy you talk about?
never heard of him.
Now, Brody, who do you enjoy beating most at trivia?
Everyone.
Okay, and come on, give us a better answer than that.
No, I'm serious.
That's
okay,
a everyone. Great answer.
Everyone. He likes to beat you all equally when it comes to trivia. Yanni, who do you get the most pleasure out of winning against in trivia?
Take no pleasure.
Okay.
Beating
really?
Other people.
Uh-huh.
I take a little pleasure,
what
I guess.
A bunch of just, terrible answers.
Just knowing, I guess, that
Cal,
I...
Cal, give us a good answer. Who do you like beating at trivia?
I think Brody's deal is great.
I don't play against anybody besides myself.
Only time...
I like beating
only time I want to win is when I see, like... Steve getting all riled up and super like obsessive, mm-hmm. then it's like something needs to happen and it can't be him winning. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Randall, can you give us a satisfying answer? Who do you like to beat at media trivia?
I don't know that there's a person I enjoy beating. I just love winning.
Okay.
I love winning and I hate losing to Brody.
Yeah. They all said Christine.
I'm going to change my answer to Randall.
Okay, there we go. Very good. Now, we have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous game of trivia, Yanni brought up a horror movie that he watched called Triangle. Phil disagreed, saying it wasn't a horror movie at all. Well, Phil has an update for us on this front. Take it away, Phil.
Yeah, well, if you watch the YouTube version, I kind of slipped it in there. But if you're an audio-only listener, yeah, Yanni's was talking about a movie I think he was channel flipping somehow. That's a thing people still do in 2024, I guess.
And he's called a hotel room.
Okay, yeah, that's the best place to do it these days. And he said, I was watching a movie called Triangle, I think, came up, and people were getting killed on a boat. And then I very smugly butted in with the tone of like, oh, Giannis, you innocent dolt. It's that movie's called The Triangle of Sadness, and it's not a horror movie. Turns out there's another movie with Triangle in the title where people are killed on a boat. And Giannis was right. There's a movie called Triangles. So I just want to apologize to Giannis for... acting
it's so nice,
holier than thou.
So there's the movie Triangle and the movie Triangle of Sadness. It was Phil's best YouTube edit ever. He put both movie posters side by side, and both of them are set on a boat, which is
nicely done, Phil.
Quite That's confusing.
True. I can tell you, in my my later years, mm-hmm. at 45 now, those kind of movies don't interest me one bit.
Did they ever interest you?
I mean, yeah, there was a period, yeah, where I don't know, it's like it's fun to get scared and fun to see people get messed up or something. I don't know.
Not anymore. He takes no pleasure in winning Meteor Trivia or watching people get killed on TV.
So what was it, a slasher movie? Like lots of blood and gore and stuff like that?
I only watched it for 30 seconds and then I was on, you know, but there was just a dude wearing like a cloth mask. Very small holes cut out of it, which I'm like, he can't be running around like he is with that thing on. And right. I brought it up. It was interesting because he had an over and over under. And when he fired once, then you heard the sound.
Racking a shotgun.
Oh, love it.
Before he shot again.
It's like in The Walking Dead, they never have to reload their shotguns ever. They can like shoot 50 straight shells and never see them reload.
That would be nice for duck hunting.
It'd work well. Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 4, so our winner should get 8 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Was that Max?
You didn't interrupt me.
No.
No, that was Cal.
You didn't interrupt the intro.
I didn't interrupt the intro.
Oh, it was Yanni. Okay.
I didn't.
Question 1. The topic is biology, and this is multiple choice. Which of these animals does not have a baculum? Is it black bear, raccoon, golden retriever, or Canada moose? Which of these animals does not have a baculum? Black bear, raccoon, golden retriever, Canada moose. Cal, Yanni, Seth, and Brody appear confident. Randall as well.
3 of those animals have a baculum, 1 does not.
I once squared off on a small game veterinarian.
Okay, I look forward to where this is going.
Over baculum.
Mm.
A small game veterinarian?
Yes. And he's like, that's not what it's called. And I was like,
what did he want to call it?
Don't know a whole
like
lot of stuff.
A vet
but...
that only worked on squirrels and rabbits and shit like that?
No. Oh, did I say small game?
Yeah.
Small, you know, not small animal, not right. large animal. Mm, yeah.
Right. The world could use this one small game vet, I think.
Yeah.
They'd be busy in the fall.
Is my everybody old, ready?
We always used to say it'd take a hell of a vet to bring that one back when we'd shoot stuff.
Christine, are we ready?
Yep.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Max saying golden retriever. Christine saying moose.
I'm the only one? Shit.
The rest of the room says moose. They got it. The correct answer is Canada moose. I'm sorry, Max.
Why did you get so specific with what kind of moose?
Just to like throw you off a little. That's all.
Yeah, it threw me off, so.
A baculum is a penis bone. They are found in most primates, rodents, hedgehogs, bears, dogs, walruses, seals, otters, weasels, and bats. In 2007, a 4.5-foot fossilized baculum from an extinct species of walrus was sold for $8,000. The seller claimed it was the largest in the world. Question 2. The topic is fishing. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Thomas Williams.
They all do.
We're setting this great question. Thomas is going to get a board game signed by the crew. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. The topic is fishing. Name 2 of the 5 states with the most registered boats in 2022. Topic is fishing. Name 2 of the 5 states with the most registered boats in 2022. Max, do we have this one right?
I sure hope so.
Okay.
And it's so funny because I was trapping with Seth a couple weeks ago, and he taught me what that was.
Back,
I should have. Yeah.
Okay.
Gave him the old baculum lesson.
Yeah, and I
We showed Max baculums off of pine martens, coyotes,
pine martin,
foxes, raccoons. Mm. It's like smaller than a toothpick.
Yeah,
people would pay a lot of money for a lesson like that, Seth. Yeah. Max just got it for free.
We showed him 4 different.
Might
baculums.
Be something we can auction off.
We showed him 4 different baculums.
Yeah, a shadow box full of baculums.
Again, you need to have 2 states on your whiteboard. Name 2 of the 5 states with the most registered boats in 2022.
I feel like you know those big posters that have like different fish sort of arranged by size and the Latin name. I think we could do a nice baculum.
There you
poster.
Go.
That's a good idea.
Put it in the store. One.
From what I have seen, the badger takes the cake as far as like a giant baculum for the size of the animal. Yes. Is that consistent with what you have seen?
I haven't seen a badger one.
Oh, yeah.
If Randall would let us come over there and trap his property.
There's not a fence that would keep neighboring dogs away
right.
from your
you
bait.
Gotta check it every morning real early.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Max saying Minnesota and Florida. Christine saying Michigan and Florida. Corinne, what do we got there,
Florida
Corinne?
Florida and California.
Florida and California. Randall saying Florida and California.
Oh, what are you
Cal saying Michigan, Minnesota. Yanni saying Michigan, Minnesota. Seth saying Wisconsin, Minnesota. Brody saying Florida, California. The 5 states are Florida, Minnesota, Michigan, Ohio, and California. The room did pretty well there.
Nice. Ohio.
Nice.
Yeah, Ohio's top 5 population in the U.S., so that makes sense. Mm. And they're right on Erie.
I didn't know that.
According to Statista, there are 1 million registered boats in Florida, 820,000 in Minnesota, 809,000 in Michigan, 652,000 in Ohio, and 626,000 in California. Rounding out the top 10 are Wisconsin, Texas, New York, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Question 3, the topic is public lands. Katmai National Park holds an annual competition that celebrates the plumpness of these animals.
Oh, yawn.
Katmai National Park holds an annual competition that celebrates the plumpness of these animals.
How cute.
How exact do you want it?
If you thought the answer was like a Labrador, you'd say Black Lab instead of Labrador. That's the specificity I would need you to go to.
Yeah, there's an argument brewing here, though.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Corinne is racking her brain.
You know, there's like, I just can't think of the name of it.
This is from the 6th Meat Eater Vertical Internet Culture and Memes.
Public Lands.
Oh, right.
Public Lands. Katmai National Park holds an annual competition that celebrates the plumpness of these animals.
Boy, they get some fat ones, too. I'll tell you
what.
I
believe they call them chonky.
Chonkosaurus.
Yeah.
Brody, I gather you don't like what this national park does, huh?
Oh, why do you get that impression?
I don't know.
The sounds
I feel like
you've been
the whole thing you just
minute.
Did in the yeah, exactly.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't got a problem with it.
Oh, all right.
I kind of do.
Good on you. Go ahead, Cal. Floor is yours. Why don't? Well, without giving anything away, why don't you like?
Yeah,
this?
I just think like to our earlier conversation, the whole guarding the gate thing. Mm-hmm. This would be a good thing to be proactive on, where it's like we don't need the whole world coming up with backstories and family stories and the anthropomorphizing of these animals, because it's going to come around and be like, well, why the hell would you ever want to shoot one of those?
Does everybody have their
it's
answer?
It's a Chonkosaurus.
Corinne was listening very closely. Corinne, did you figure out the answer?
Yeah, so I can see your answer.
My answer is not the real answer. I just can't think of this one animal.
Oh, okay. You say you're going for funny answer.
No, I'm going for an answer that's wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Right on. Go.
Is everybody ready? Another diagram. Like the
go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Max saying brown bear. Christine saying brown bear. Corinne saying ground squirrel. Randall saying brown bear. The rest of the room said brown bear. They got it. The correct answer is brown bears. The event was first held in 2014, which was referred to as Fat Bear Tuesday. It was so popular that the park decided to make it an annual week-long competition the following year. The 2023 winner was Grazer, a 700-pound female who's 18 years old. Her competition in the final round was Chunk, who came 85,000 votes short of beating Grazer. A record number of ballots, more than 1.4 million, were cast in the 2023 Fat Bear Tournament.
What's that animal called that's like high altitude, like alpine rabbit
marmot?
Squirrel
marmot?
Mix?
Pika?
Lemon?
Pika. That's pika. What pika, I was pika? Thinking about. Pika, yeah.
Fat pika competition. You could start that, Corinne.
That would be very, very cute.
You got to name them. Like Cal said, create a backstory. Now, Cal, well, I think this competition is fun. It's like celebrating the bear and sockeye salmon specifically, showing how much weight they can put on by time they are about to go
I
hibernate.
Do not argue the fun factor, and it is cool. But it just really hammers home, like, the whole park animal syndrome.
Sure.
The Disneyfication of...
Yeah. And it's just, like, I don't know that the fun facts that are, like, real facts about the bears and why they're putting on the weight and the salmon and all that are hammering home as much as
sure. The 1.4 million people voting maybe don't think of all that stuff.
I would just like to point out that I wouldn't ordinarily throw one of my competitors under the bus for using her phone, but Corinne is using she's using the whiteboard that has shed its frame, and she is currently shopping for replacement dry erase whiteboards on Amazon.
Okay. Now, Spencer, would
I don't know if this is not ergonomic enough, but she seems to be sufficiently displeased by her whiteboard that this is the last straw.
We'll allow it, Corinne. You can shop for those whiteboards. Brody's about to ask if
I'm
would accept Grizzly.
If you would have accepted Grizzly.
I think
bear.
We'll take Grizzly.
Because that's why I asked, because I was going to put that.
I think we'll take Grizzly if you said Grizzly at home. No one in the room did.
But I thought, isn't it that
all grizzlies are brown
are
bears,
but
not
all brown bears are grizzlies. And I think that these that live in this park are not.
It had gotten complicated in here if someone wrote down Grizzly. But if you're playing at home, you said Grizzly.
I was hoping
you could have that. Question four, the topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Mike Sheffer. The five largest man-made lakes in the United States are built on these two rivers. The five largest man-made lakes in the United States are built on these two rivers. Corinne, are the whiteboards ordered?
No.
Okay. It'll happen yet. Soon.
Looks like we have some good options, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Our whiteboards have broken down. They are on their final legs. I think we're going to have to get some glue and duct tape out to make them last until the new ones arrive. And then these will show up in the Auction House of Oddities someday, whenever that makes its return, maybe in 2024. You could have the actual whiteboards that our competitors use in the room. Here's the question again. It's question four. The topic is conservation. The five largest man-made lakes in the United States are built on these two rivers. Seth is confident. Seth, you got this one right.
I got one of them right.
Okay. One of them. 50%. One of them he knows. No half points in trivia unless you're my wife. She will reward herself. Half points. And I don't argue. But if you only get one of these in the room, you just get it wrong.
Man, I don't feel good.
Okay. Two rivers.
Yeah.
You need to tell me the two rivers. Is everybody ready? Brody?
Yep.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Max saying Missouri, Columbia. Christine saying Yellowstone, Mississippi. Corinne, without an answer. Randall saying Missouri, Colorado. Cal saying Missouri, Mississippi. Yanni saying Colorado, Missouri. Seth saying Missouri, Colorado. Brody saying Missouri, Colorado. The two rivers are Colorado and Missouri.
Shit.
The largest man-made lake is Lake Mead on the Colorado River in Arizona and Nevada, followed by Lake Powell on the Colorado River in Arizona and Utah. The next three lakes are located on the Missouri River. They are Lake Sacagawea in North Dakota, Lake Oahe in North Dakota and South Dakota, and Fort Peck in Montana.
Phil, that's a half point for me. Just let you know. Okay, thanks.
If you guys had to tell me the five biggest man-made lakes, how many of those do you think you would have gotten?
I would have got three.
Mead, Powell, Sacagawea, Oahe, Peck.
Everything on Missouri.
That three. Would have been a good way for me to think about that question instead of thinking about
rivers.
yeah.
I wonder if Powell or Mead are in danger of losing their status as the top two.
Mm.
Shrinking awful.
Probably stay in the top five, though. Question five. The topic is cooking. This Argentinian green sauce, which is often served with grilled meat, uses ingredients such as parsley, cilantro, oregano, garlic, and olive oil. Brody knows this one. Max and Cal and Corinne and Christine all look confident as well. That leaves Seth and Yanni, who have yet to pick up their whiteboards. The topic is cooking. This Argentinian green sauce, which is often served with grilled meat, uses ingredients such as parsley, cilantro, oregano, garlic, and olive oil.
It's an unpopular opinion, probably, I've always felt like this stuff's a little overrated.
I think you've made this before.
A little overrated.
When I was at your place.
I feel like, yeah.
I think it's underrated.
Underrated, okay. This will be called Meat Eater First Take. You two boys can wear suits like Steve likes and sit on opposite sides of the table and debate each other.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That's an observation Steve has made when sports is on at the gym. He says that these guys in suits sit on opposite sides of the table and just debate each other all the time.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
It's Randall's favorite TV to watch.
Printing money.
Yeah, exactly. Laughing all the way to the bank.
This Argentinian green sauce, which is often served with grilled meat, uses ingredients such as parsley, cilantro, oregano, garlic, and olive oil. Cal, have you in fact cooked this for Seth before?
It's a strong, strong possibility. Although it's not like a go-to thing for me because of the oil.
What do you got, Yanni?
I'll tell you that it is present in...
You now know the answer?
Huh?
You know the answer?
Yeah.
You figured
it
out?
You didn't know it about 20 seconds ago.
No, it took a second for me to remember the name of it. But it's present in the Meat Eater Cookbook.
Now we're just giving away hints.
Little hints.
And it is the salt in there is wrong. The amount of salt in there is wrong.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I love this.
So
keep going.
So you have to use, I can't remember now what it is, but it's like a quarter.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to make it.
Who should I file my complaint with when I make this and it's too salty?
That's a pretty big mistake.
Hmm?
Who should I file my complaint with when I make this and it's
sounds like
salty?
A pre-Randall publishing
team. That's a great way to promote the fact that we've got a new cookbook coming out.
Totally.
It's Meat Eater's outdoor cookbook.
All right. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Max saying chimichurri, Christine saying pesto, Corinne and Randall and Cal and Yanni and Seth and Brody saying chimichurri. They got it.
Who spelled
correct
it right?
Answer. I don't know if any of you
I spelled it real bad.
I can tell you who was the most wrong, and that was Seth. Seth was the most wrong, but we'll give it to him anyway.
And Brody likes looking at my answers just so he can laugh at how bad I've spelled chimichurri.
Although it's less popular, there's also red chimichurri, which is made with paprika and dried chilies. Green chimichurri is also used in pastas as a marinade. To learn how to make it, go to themeateater.com and read Danielle Pruitt's recipe called Venison Tongue Chimichurri. Steve said Danielle's recipe created the best tongue he's ever had.
Mm. Listen, I think for hundreds of recipes that are in that book, to have so far one miscalculation,
there you go. Good. Chimichurri. If you want to spell that correctly, C H I M I C H U R R I.
Nope, did not spell
I
it
missed
that
an
way.
R.
Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Max, Corinne, and Christine all have 3 points. Seth and Cal have 4, and it's a 3-way tie for first place. Brody, Giannis, and Randall all have a perfect game.
Golden
5
retriever.
Points.
My goodness.
You're a dog guy, too.
I know.
Question
Girl
6.
Dogs?
Girl big,
dog, though.
Big dog guy. Big dog
question
guy.
6.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside. Planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing. Taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times, I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance, and man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. You know, I didn't realize this about myself before until I saw the terminology for it, but as a hydrator, I'm a chug person, meaning I go and go and go and go and go because I'm busy and thinking about what I'm doing. And then I go like, man, I need to hydrate. And then I just chug. And one thing that helps me chug a lot more and more frequently is Liquid IV, because frankly, water kind of bores me, but I love Liquid IV. 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. I love how convenient the packaging is for whatever it is I'm doing that day. Traveling, in the field, working in the office, I'm still drinking Liquid IV. It's satisfying, helps me get rehydrated, and even when I'm flying around, I just carry it in my pack. I keep it in my computer bag. 1 stick, 16 ounces of water, hydrates better than water alone. No artificial sweeteners. However you like to hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code MEATEATER at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MEATEATER at liquidiv.com. Man, I've had a Helix sleep mattress for years, and man, that thing is nice. The Helix lineup, it's just comfortable. It feels good, and you don't get all like, it's not all like hot and sticky in the summertime. It's not cold in the winter. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids. Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/meateater and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
The topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us via Jay Thompson. This shorebird is often associated with the prank where an unsuspecting person is given an impossible nighttime hunting task. Max is the winner. This was a race. Didn't even need to finish the question. This shorebird is often associated with the prank where an unsuspecting person is given an impossible nighttime hunting task.
We used to do this so much.
Okay, well, don't give away too many hints because I see a few of your competitors are currently stumped.
I know, hopefully.
So well, I know this.
Like,
I'm just
shot clock, 10 seconds here.
I'm at a loss for the...
You don't know it, Randall.
This is one of those things that when you're a little kid, you're like, oh, there's some mystery to it. But then once you, then, yeah, like, yeah,
handing
like,
out some more hints.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Shot clock. Here we go.
Seth and Brody seem confident. Cal, you have this one right, I assume.
I assume, too.
Okay. Randall, have you written anything down yet?
No, I'm oh, wow. I'm drawing a blank.
I'm gonna go with the shot clock. Let's go.
We may trip up a Randall.
Here we go. Here we go.
Yanni hasn't picked
this. Randall's race is starting.
Eight, seven,
Randall's struggling.
Five,
caught him now.
Back three, little boy over here.
Here's the question two, again. This shorebird.
Ready?
This shorebird is often associated with the prank where an unsuspecting person is given an impossible nighttime hunting task. We're waiting on Yanni and Randall. Do you boys give up yet?
I don't know if I'm going to get it. I just
they give up. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Max saying snipe. Christine without an answer. Corinne saying dodo question mark. Puffin question mark. What if one of those was the correct answer, Corinne? What would I to do then? Randall without an answer.
The fewest question marks. Yeah.
I was going to say snipe. I was going to say
and then
snipe.
What happened?
I just couldn't. I didn't think of the word.
Cal says snipe.
If I had come up with the answer, it would have been snipe.
Yanni says seagull. Seth says snipe. Brody says snipe. They got it. The correct answer is snipe. The snipe hunt prank dates back to the 1840s. It's a practical joke where someone is told to go outdoors at night and make silly noises to attract the mythical snipe, which they're supposed to catch with a bag. According to the Encyclopedia of American Folklore, the hazing ritual got popular thanks to Boy Scouts in the early 20th century. Has anybody ever been on a snipe hunt? The one or the real one?
All I could have pictured in my head was the person with the bag.
Mm-hmm.
I could picture like a drawing of that from a... Yeah,
Max, did you haze somebody to go snipe hunting?
No,
or were you hazed?
Parents did. I was definitely hazed.
You went snipe hunting?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we were little kids and we had pots and pans and walking up and down the shoreline. And then I believe someone went on a dock and then fell in the water. And there was no more snipe hunting after that. So.
Nice. My cousins that took me snipe hunting did it in the mountains of Colorado. No bag, no shore, no crazy noises. And I took it very seriously.
As did Max.
Yeah.
I mean, he was swinging pots and pans around out there.
You guys turned out fine.
Hey, Cal, have you ever shot a Wilson snipe with, like, size 2 goose shot?
Yeah.
Did it just disappear when that happened?
This like, you're like, out hunting geese and ducks in them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're like, it's the only thing. The only thing that came by today.
Mm-hmm. As Brody said, it's a real bird, the Wilson's
and they,
snipe.
I think they do taste good, though. I've eaten
Yeah, they're like woodcock.
Oh,
yeah.
Never eaten one.
I learned that they migrate.
They do migrate, yeah. Which is cool.
Tony Peterson taught me that.
Question 7. The topic is fishing. This is an audio question. Phil is going to play you 30 seconds of a tune called The Fishing Hole. You need to tell me what 1960s television series this was the theme song for. Take it away, Phil.
Well, now take
No. Hold on. You're supposed to start at 47 seconds.
Brody's this song.
Love the tune, have no idea.
Yeah.
Again, you need to tell me what 1960s television series that was the theme for.
Is this TV series like a fishing show?
Not going to give you any hints. The tune was called The Fishing Hole.
So much fishing.
In my mind, I didn't realize there was anything other than the whistling.
Yeah, during the opening credits, you only hear...
Yeah, that's the part Spencer wanted me to play.
Yeah. No, I was like really thrown off when it...
What's going on over there, Brody? You fall asleep, bud?
The lyrics are nice, though.
Yeah, Brody is off camera right now, but he's doing the board in front of the face move.
I just can't think of it.
I don't think that's a
thing. He's hiding.
I just can't believe that my face turned color that quickly on the snipe hunt. Now I'm... I can't play poker anymore, I guess.
I've seen it before. Once Randall gets rocked off his game, it's not pretty.
Boy, again, you need to tell me what 1960s television series that was the theme song for.
Okay, we ready?
Yeah, I don't think anyone
We are.
Except Randall.
Brody, do we give up yet?
If I have to.
Let's run the snipe clock on this.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, let's count down.
Everybody had so much fun when Randall was taking
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Max saying Three Stooges. Christine saying Leave It to Beaver. Corinne without an answer. Randall saying The Andy Griffith Show. Cal saying Andy Griffith Show. Yanni saying Andy Griffith Show. Seth saying Gone Fishing. Brody saying, what's that saying?
Oh, I was just writing down people that were on it to try and remember.
Don Knotts wrote down who was indeed on
Richie Cunningham, he was on it too, wasn't
The
he?
Correct Opie. Answer was The Andy Griffith Show. The Andy Griffith Show lasted for 8 seasons from 1960 to 1968. Its famous opening credits show Andy and Opie walking to a river while carrying fishing rods. When Griffith left the series, the spinoff Mayberry RFD was born, which only lasted 3 seasons. Yanni, did you ever watch that show? It ended well before you were around, but I imagine it was still relevant when you were watching TV as a kid.
Oh, yeah, I watched some reruns of that. But I did not have the answer until someone said that they could only remember it because all they remembered was just the whistling alone. Oh. But then Cal started actually whistling it, and I was like, oh, that's from that show.
Yeah. A lot of hours of Nick at Night have been dedicated to the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah, that was a big.
Question 8, the topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us via Bo Burnett. This company, which was founded in 1922, is best known for its baseball bats and archery arrows. Seth, Max, Yanni,
I wouldn't care.
Okay, not Max. I take it back. Seth, Cal, Randall, Yanni, they all look confident. This company, which was founded in 1922, is best known for its baseball bats and archery arrows.
Oh, now I got it. So.
Okay, Max is confident again.
Should have said something else up there.
Mm-hmm. Phil, did you ever watch The Andy Griffith Show?
Oh, yeah.
Did you love Nick at Night?
I had a dad who sat me down in front of the TV and made me watch like Columbo and Andy Griffith Show, all of his favorite shows when he was younger.
Mm-hmm. And do you... Do you dislike him for that, or do you appreciate it?
Oh, no, I definitely appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hit a lot of home runs. No, they'd call you a slugger. You remember that? Yeah.
They don't call you that anymore?
I don't know if they do.
Okay. Everyone, Cal's requesting to start calling him Slugger, he says.
Slugger.
Nope. It's better than Baculum Boy.
Baculum Boy and Slugger.
Just thinking, you know, if you're thinking about baseball bats, you know.
Is everybody ready?
Slugger.
Should have said that.
Is everybody ready?
Might be a good hint. Follow up on.
Brody, are you ready?
No. Oh, I mean, I'm ready. I just can't think.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Max saying Easton. Corinne saying Easton. Corinne without an answer.
Kill me.
We have Randall, Cal, Yanni, and Seth saying Easton. Brody without an answer. The correct answer is Easton.
Brody.
Yeah, my son's going to kill me for the bat one, man.
When Easton was founded in the 1920s, it was just making bows and arrows. The company stayed that way until 1964 when it created a ski pole that became the brand's first non-archery product. 5 years after that, they made their first aluminum bat. And 12 years after that, they made their first hockey stick. Easton has also dabbled in cycling gear, golf shafts, and drumsticks. Phil, we have two questions left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Make tent poles too, don't they?
I think they make a little of everything, it seems like.
Corinne and Christine are out of the game, but we've got Max with 5 points.
Nice.
Seth and Brody with 6, and it's a 3-way tie for first. They've got 7 points. It's Cal, Giannis, and Randall.
Question
Giannis
9.
Missed one? Which one did you miss?
I've missed a bunch.
I think you've only missed one.
Well, Phil says one.
Do
you want to fess up
to
more?
I missed two, bud.
We can do a review of answers here. The first one was Canada Moose. Then we had the 5 states, Florida, Minnesota, Michigan, Ohio, California. Then we had Brown Bears for the Fat Bear Contest. Then Colorado and Missouri for the largest man-made lakes. The cooking question was chimichurri. The hunting answer was snipe. Then we had the Andy Griffith Show. And the last question was Easton.
Oh, I guess you're right. I just missed snipe.
Good job, yeah. Phil. Yanni's selling himself short.
I knew that I went on a snipe hunt as a kid and that it was a joke, but the shorebird thing threw me off. I did not think of that thing as a shorebird.
Identified as a shorebird. Question 9.
Yeah.
The topic is biology. Encyclopedia Britannica defines this 5-letter word as, quote, accumulated excrement of birds, bats, and seals valued as fertilizer. Brody had this one before I even finished reading the question. Encyclopedia Britannica defines this 5-letter word.
He must know his shit.
It's good input, Cal.
You get it, Spencer?
I get it. Accumulated excrement of birds, bats, and seals valued as fertilizer. Randall, do you know this one?
I do.
Randall and Brody have it right. Seth, you know this one as well? Maybe. Accumulated excrement of birds, bats, and seals valued as fertilizer. It's a 5-letter word.
Feeling pretty good about a tiebreaker this game, Spencer.
Okay, that'd be fun. We are now on an 11-week drought with no tiebreakers.
I wish I was competing for that tiebreaker.
Don't give up, Max.
I gave up a long time ago. After the first question.
Just in general.
Is everybody ready? Who's going to come up with an answer?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yanni, no guess? Christine, we ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Max without an answer. Christine and Corinne without an answer. Randall saying guano. Cal saying guano. Yanni without an answer. Seth saying guano. Brody saying guano. They got it. The correct answer is guano. G-U-A-N-O. Guano is so valuable that mining it has led to wars and slavery in some countries. Congress even passed a law in 1856 called the U.S. Guano Island Act, which granted any U.S. citizen rights to guano deposits in Caribbean nations. Guano's value comes from the fact that it's about 13% nitrogen, which is 6 times higher than cattle manure.
Isn't it used in, or was used in gunpowder?
I think it's got all kinds
of
uses.
You can leach, nitrates out of it.
I think there's even like guano coffee. There's a ton.
It's
of
also
uses.
A pivotal plot device in the film Ace Ventura 2 When Nature Calls.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
That's where I first learned the word. Me. Well, there's an evil. I'm not going to recall the plot in great detail, but okay. Essentially,
because you can't,
some sort of
you're
corporate
to...
interest has okay. discovered that there's guano from the great white bat in these caves, and so they're trying to move. They're trying to pit a war between these two villages so that they destroy each other, so that the Western interests can gain access to the guano.
Did you remember Young Guns 2?
No.
There's a great guano reference in Young Guns 2.
Wow, I had no idea this had such a pop culture relevance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Phil, yeah. We have one question left. Who's left one. In the game?
That was a lesson in international relations right there.
It was. Yeah.
It was, yeah. The CIA was involved.
Ace Ventura, Ace Ventura foils the plot and saves the day.
Okay. No.
Yeah.
We've got Seth, Giannis, and Brody with 7 points. And then tied up in first place now are Cal and Randall, who have 8 points apiece.
That makes sense because we recently bathed together.
Question 10. The topic is conservation. What non-game bird is most frequently used in state wildlife agency logos? I went through all 50 of them to answer this question. What non-game bird is most frequently used in state wildlife agency logos? Quick answer from Cal. Cal, how do you feel about your answer?
It was quick.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm not going to look at it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you picture some logos that have this bird on it and that's why you're going with it? Or you're just, okay.
Yep.
What state?
No.
No?
Don't do that.
I almost had him.
Yes, I can, but now that I'm like, oh, there's got to be multiple. You know, it's casting some doubt in there,
sure.
But the game can't go on forever.
Randall is contributing to the broken board pile that we have building up. He just slammed his board on the table.
I was trying to get an answer out of me.
Did it work?
Good question, because I think the more you think about it, the more birds you think of.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think I'm going to go to Randall's primary care physician and be like, listen, I think this game is not good for his health.
It's plainly it's not. I mean, if sleep is any measure of health, game is not contributing to my wellness.
What non-game bird is most frequently used in state wildlife agency logos? Max, you like Christine's answer?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Is it different than yours?
Yes, but okay. I got three answers down.
So okay.
Randall, do you consume more or less alcohol when you win or when you lose a game of trivia?
Pretty steady intake.
Max has three answers written down.
None of them are right.
Okay. You're going to pick one of them, though. Need you to pick one of them. Is everybody ready? Randall?
Another idea.
Oh, Randall just thought of another bird he knows. A non-game bird. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Randall, he's making a change. Wow. Okay.
Ooh.
This could win or lose him the game.
Where's the shot clock?
I have yours down.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Max saying robin. Christine saying bald eagle. Corinne saying eagle. Randall saying pelican. Cal saying pelican. Oh, yeah. Yanni saying great blue heron, I assume. Seth saying great blue heron. Brody saying bald eagle. We have a correct answer in the room. It's bald eagle.
No shit. Tiebreaker, suckers.
Brody is going to a tiebreaker with Cal and Randall.
Wow.
Play the drop, Phil.
Too easy.
I just want to say, Brody, I couldn't have dreamt this up any better. Happy to have you up on top again.
Happy to be aboard.
I just cut it at, if you ain't first, you're last, and then go into other stuff.
And we know he's not gunning for anybody. He's just happy.
Gunning for everyone.
What states have a bald eagle?
Oh, here's the factoid. There are 6 states that have a bald eagle in their logo. Those are Alabama, Georgia, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and South Carolina. Some other non-game birds that make wildlife agency logos include gulls, cardinals, hawks, herons, and kites, but none of them are used more than twice. So 6 logos have the bald eagle.
I mean, I know it's the wrong answer, or it was the right answer, but... I just feel like it sort of cheapens the bald eagle to be state agent. It's like a little league team that, no offense to state agencies, that calls themselves the Yankees, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, it's our national bird.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
These states can't have it. Yeah, especially Alabama, Georgia, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Carolina. You're from Ohio, Randall. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea. Oh, plainly. Okay. Plainly.
Clearly.
But is there what Fed agency uses it? Does any Fed agency use it in their logo?
Not sure.
So the Department of Defense?
Randall, what'd you erase? Randall, what'd you erase before
the
you put down
the seal of the president? Cardinal.
Mm. The tie-breaking topic is public lands. This is a numerical question, so whoever is closest between our three remaining competitors will be declared the winner. But everyone in the room should play along, because if somebody gets it right on the nose, we'll add an extra $100 to the donation. What is the price of a standard 2023 America the Beautiful Pass, which gains you entry to every national park for 1 year? Brody, do you know this answer?
No.
Okay.
But I feel like...
We're going to have you write it to, like, cents, if you think it's $1.10.
Entry to every national park for 1 year.
That's right. What is the price of a standard 2023 America the Beautiful Pass, which gains you entry to every national park for 1 year?
I know I bought them, like, way in the past.
Yeah, but they all that stuff got... cranked up.
I know.
Hint, hint, hint.
Well, it is, but you need still need to know where
to
start.
Have a baseline.
Yeah.
We're down to Randall, Cal, and Brody. But everyone's going to come up with an answer. The price of a standard 2023 America the Beautiful Pass. Does anybody know this in the room?
I'm within...
pennies?
$5 to $10, I think.
Okay.
I know that you specified 2023, but I wonder if since then it's gone up even more.
Well, I wrote this question so long ago. Like I said, we've been in this terrible overtime drought, and now it's pouring in here. We've ended.
Oh,
it.
Yeah. I mean,
That's why it was 2023. So everybody ready?
There's a lot of griping from folks about the park, just the general park passes being so high.
What's new? Is everybody ready?
What?
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Max saying $79.95. Christine saying $80. Corinne saying $165. Randall saying $78.99. Cal saying $165.50. Yanni saying $225. Seth saying $90. Brody saying $120. The correct answer is $80, making Randall our winner and Christine hitting it right on the nose.
Nicely done.
We have a $600 donation being made. Christine, did you know that or was it a guess?
I bought one last year.
Oh, good on you.
Yeah.
Christine hit it right on
the nose. $80 is what I paid.
How many parks did you visit, Christine?
Two. Maybe more.
A senior annual pass is $20 and a military annual pass is free. The pass will also get you access to lands managed by the BLM, Bureau of Reclamation, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and more. Randall, where is our $600 donation going to
go? I'd like to defer to Christine.
Oh, there you go. Ooh. Very nice. Christine, wearing the Detroit Lions hat.
Can we give
to
celebrate?
Give it to the Detroit Lions Foundation.
Lions Nation.
Or just give it to the refs.
Dan Campbell's.
You can give it to the refs for the game.
Where is the $600 donation from Meat Eater going to go?
I just never thought this day would come.
That's awesome. I love it.
Michigan United Conservation Club.
Nice, that's cool.
MUCC.
There we go, the MUCC. We had at the Kalamazoo show, I think, winner of trivia there donated to the MUCC.
Thanks,
now we're
Randall.
Sending $600 more dollars their way.
Holy what do God. They do?
You know, I've heard other people donate for them, but also they're one of the biggest NPOs, I think, for conservation. I'll look at Cal.
One of the oldest, too.
Or oldest, yeah. A lot of stuff for Michigan, obviously, and Mark Kenyon did some work with him for Working for Wildlife Tour and told me a lot, and I got excited about him after that.
Well done, Randall. Well done, Christine. $600 going their way. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Telling you what, Dekt is a game changer. Dekt has completely changed how I load, organize my truck. All my stuff that I want is always in there, out of my way, and secure. It's perfect. If you own a pickup truck that you use, you know, like a truck, The decked drawer system gives you weatherproof storage for all your gear. You can lock it up, too. You keep your tools and gear organized, job site or out in the field. Go to decked.com/meateater to receive free shipping. Go to decked.com/meateater and get yourself some free shipping. Hey, if you follow wildlife news at all, you're probably aware that the island of Maui has an incredible abundance of axis deer. So much so that they're causing ecological damage. Well, Maui Nui venison is thinning out some of those axis deer herds and delivering venison sticks and fresh cuts to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MeatEater for 20% off your order.